hello. You are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Breezy coming to you live today on November 7th, 2016. If this is your first time listening, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate your time. And just to let you all know, to everyone listening, this is actually my last show. Oh my gosh, I know. It's been a really good 8 weeks, but you know, something's gotta come to an end, and this is the end of my show. And so, there's that. If you've been listening to all my 8 shows, that's great. I really appreciate that. And if this is your first time, it's okay. I still like it. I'm glad you're still listening. And just so you know, The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney-related. And if you've missed any of my shows, just head on over to radio.dominican.edu under student shows to check out my previous shows, which were all recorded. Okay. So now, jumping right into today's topic, which is newest Disney princesses. Yes, I am actually very excited to talk about this today because we just got to talk about it. It's got to be talked about today because it's my last show and I haven't talked about it yet. So specifically in terms of newest Disney princesses, I'm talking about Elena of Avalor and Moana. Yes, the one that's coming out this month, the day before Thanksgiving. Oh my gosh, so exciting. Okay, so first, Elena of Avalor. I will get to Moana later. Just hold up. Hold up, y'all, okay? So, okay, but first, before I get into Elena of Avalor, I just want to let y'all know that, you know, that Inside Out game that I've been talking about for, I think, the past 2 shows, so past 2 weeks. Well, they updated it, and I finished almost 20 levels this past weekend, and now I'm waiting for the new update. Am I proud of this? Heck yeah, that was so fast. I'm so good at this game. And I'm also disappointed because now I can't play the game. However, hold up. I downloaded a new game, and it's inspired by Zootopia, where I solve crimes, and I'm honestly so freaking obsessed with it already. It is so fun. And I was playing it before I came to here today, and oh, so much fun. Anything that's Disney-inspired is great, okay? Unless it's scary, then I'm not down for that. Okay, so Elena of Avalor. Its premiere date was July 22nd, 2016. And the synopsis, which I took from IMDb, is Princess Elena is on a journey that began years earlier when evil sorceress Shuriki took her parents and kingdom from her. Now, having defeated Shuriki, the royal teenager is due to take her place on the throne, but needs help ruling Avalor. That assistance comes in the form of the Grand Council, made up of her grandfather Tito, grandmother Sisi, and the royal advisor Duke Esteban. Princess Elena goes on adventures with wizard-in-training Mateo and magical Skylar at her side that help her understand the traits that make a good leader. Okay, so this show, yes, show, it's a show, is on Disney Channel. It's a show, not a movie, okay? We gotta get that wrapped around your head. It is not a movie. And I will explain more about why it's a show and not a movie later. Oh, actually, just right now. I'm so funny. Okay, so the creator and producer of the show, Craig Gerber, told ABC News, I think people have this idea that Disney is just one big group of folks sitting around a table making decisions about everything, but it's not like that at all. I'm on the TV side. I have nothing to do with the feature side. I was personally inspired to create a show about a Latina princess, and it was luckily compelling enough that the powers that be said, yes, go ahead and do that. I think right now diversity is so important to Disney that it doesn't really matter who is pitching the idea. If the idea is ready to go, they'll say, go ahead and do it. There. This clears up everything so much because for the longest time I was wondering, oh my gosh, is she not special enough to be a movie? Like, why is she just on a show? Why is that? And so this really just means that those who are on the big screen side, those who are working on the movies, need to get stepping on making a movie about either Elena or another Latina princess. And, like, for real, like, just that. Like, we need a movie. We need it by the team who's been producing the latest princesses that's been out. Maybe people who have been on the team working on Moana or making progress on making the new Latina princess, or yeah. So I hope to see one soon because I think that they need to do this ASAP. This needs to be done as soon as possible because we're all waiting for it. And a show, people can't follow along with the show too much. But a movie, you sit there for an hour and a half and you're done. You know everything about it. So it's just, it's easier and more convenient that way. And I actually tried watching this show once, but I honestly was either just not in the mood for it or was absolutely bored of it. Like, I couldn't finish it. Within the first 5 minutes or so, I was like, I don't know what to do now. I'm not really into this, so I'm going to just change the channel. And that's really what I felt. I really tried, but I wasn't feeling it. I think it was more of like a Disney Junior show for, like, the little kids in elementary school or in pre-K. It wasn't so intriguing to me as a Disney movie would be. So I think that's, you know, that's why we need a movie. That way more people will be more interested to see this Latinx culture and, like, learn about it. So I hope they do that soon. Yeah, and I think I was bored because if you've seen pictures of it, you can tell it just doesn't inhibit the same magic as Disney movies, which I basically explained why. Because it wasn't created by the same team of people who usually work on Disney movies. It's by this dude who works in the TV realm with Disney. Like, it makes sense hearing his side, and I do appreciate the fact that he made the effort and took the step to make this show around Latinx culture. But I just wish to see Disney on the movie side, you know, get stepping, y'all. We need this soon. And Elena still sings like her other Disney princess friends, and there's a new song in every episode, and she's only 16 years old. Yeah. And there's actually no romance for this princess either. It's pretty cool how they're just having these princesses be heroines, and, you know, they don't really need a prince. Yeah. And I think it's pretty cool how Disney is making princesses, I guess, more independent and their own hero. So that's a good message to send to young people. And Elena actually has special powers like Rapunzel. So she has a scepter of light, which she uses in her adventures. And I really can't say much more about this because you gotta see the show, and honestly, so do I, because I have no idea what the scepter does. I seriously, first episode, I was like, okay, it's on demand, I'm gonna watch it, and I was just really bored. It didn't capture me, it didn't hook me in. I wasn't super like, oh, I need to see what happens next. I'm already like, oh, so is this just the beginning of her story? Because I feel like with a show, they can have so many episodes and they can tell different parts of their story in different episodes, and you really have to follow it. But with the movie, they have to do it, like, they have to establish everything right then and there, or they're gonna lose people. But for, like, they lost me in the show because I couldn't keep up. I just could not. I was not like, oh my gosh, I need, no. I was not like that. And if you didn't know already, yeah, so this is Disney's first princess of Hispanic descent, or is she the first Latina princess? I've been hearing both, and let me just let y'all know right now, Hispanic and Latina are not the same thing, but maybe, just maybe, Elena is both Latin and Hispanic descent. That's, we don't know. Or, yeah, it's just, because I can't say she's this, and then, but then, like, maybe she's both. Maybe her mom is from, like, a Latin country, and then her dad is from a country that speaks Spanish. I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I need to clear this up for myself. Yeah. And also, Amy Carrero, I think that's how you pronounce your last name, voices Princess Elena, and she's been on the Freeform show Young and Hungry. So that's, if you've watched the show, you've probably seen her there. I haven't watched the show, so I can't say so much about that. But just so you know, Carrero was born in the Dominican Republic to a Puerto Rican father and Dominican mother. So she is of Hispanic descent, which is really important. Like, if the character is from a certain place, the voice actor should be too. You know, like, it's just, it's weird. Because, you know, when I talked about Mulan, like, why? She's from China. Why would you cast someone who's not Chinese? I don't, like, why were they considering Jennifer Lawrence? She's not Asian. I don't think she has any Asian in her. That's just wrong. Why would Disney get it right? They did it right here with Amy Carrero, because she's Hispanic descent. So it's the, hello, this works. So I hope You know, I'm really excited to see that Mulan movie. What is it called? Like real live action? No, I'm trying. To say LARP, like live action role play. No, that's not what it is, but it's where it's like real people. I think it's called like live action. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, because it's real life live. Yeah, so I'm excited to see that. I hope every person in the movie is Asian, because it's in China. Like, back then, why would there be white people there? That makes no sense. Okay, so Carrero told ABC News, "It means the world to me because people have been waiting a very long time for this, myself included. My grandmother has been waiting a long time for this. Many generations have been waiting a long time. And so to be a small part of this movement, to be a small part of that history, is almost too much to wrap my head around. Because I really hope that my future daughters or granddaughters will look back and say, hey, she was sort of trailblazing at that time. Or remember when that was a big deal? That's a really cool thing." Agreed. Agreed, girl, so freaking much. You are a trailblazer. I am so proud. Just to reiterate literally what I've been saying about five different times in five different ways, is that this is really cool how there's a show inspired by and is based around Latinx culture. And really, we need a Disney movie, because I think they could go in depth more. And I'll be talking about this later, but with Moana, the team that was working on the movie went to, I think they went to Hawaii to do more research and really dive themselves into the culture and really learn about it. And I hope that, you know, maybe they're working on it right now. We don't know. But if they are, that's great. And it would be nice that if they are working on it right now, that they're going to like Latin American countries or Spanish-speaking countries to learn more about it, to immerse themselves into this culture and really learn about it. Because, and you know, like Pixar right now, I talked about this in a previous show, they're having that, one of their upcoming movies is called Coco, and it's based around the Dia de los Muertos, which is a holiday celebrated in Mexico where they celebrate the dead. And they're doing that based on a little boy in Mexico. So that's really cool. Like what the director said for Elena of Avalor, diversity is so important to Disney right now. And it really is. Like, diversity is so important to society right now. Why shouldn't this company be doing that? You feel? Oh, yeah. Okay. So hi-ho, on a little break we go. And after the break, I will be talking about Moana. Yes, yes, I'm so freaking excited. So I'll be talking about that. Stay tuned for it. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu.
I saw you there standing under the mango tree. So fine to me. She had all the things that I've been searching for. She had Ehu hair, a flower in her ear, and bongo shorts. She was my honey baby, my honey baby.
when you call on me. I'll be there when I can, and you can count on me, cause I'm your Hawaiian Superman. Honey baby, my honey baby, my honey baby, my honey baby.
Hi ho, back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu, and I am DJ Breezy because I keep it cool. Yeah. And just so you know, this is my last show, and before the break, I was talking about this new Disney Channel show called Elena of Avalor, and she's one of the newest Disney princesses, and that is actually my topic today. Newest Disney princesses, yes. But the newest one coming to us very, very soon, just later this month, the day before Thanksgiving, it is the one, the only Moana. Ah. Okay, so her premiere date. This movie's premiere date is November 23rd, 2016. So yes, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving's on the 24th this year. This movie will premiere the 23rd. Okay, so the synopsis of this movie, which I took from imdb.com. An adventurous teenager sails out on a daring mission to save her people. During her journey, Moana meets the once mighty demigod Maui, who guides her in her quest to become a master wayfinder. Together, they sail across the open ocean on an action-packed voyage, encountering enormous monsters and impossible odds. Along the way, Moana fulfills the ancient quest of her ancestors and discovers the one thing she always sought, her own identity. How cute. Okay, first of all, holy frick, this is so exciting. First of all, this is so freaking like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm so for it. Okay, so there's been multiple clips, previews, trailers for this movie, and I have to admit, I gotta say this, I gotta let y'all know, I have not watched a majority of them. Why? Well, because I just suck. But I'm still excited for this movie. I might not have watched it because I kind of maybe don't want to tease myself. I just want to watch the movie. Like, I don't want to see all these little clips and these teasers saying, showing me, like, this is what it's going to show. Like, I just want to watch the movie already. I just want to watch it all in one take. Like, one shot. 1.5 hours of my time. Like, one sitting. Just watch the movie. I don't want to be teased, okay? It's like tickling. I don't like that. I don't like being tickled. Okay. So, newcomer Ali'i Carvalho voices Moana, and she is only 15 years old, and she got the role without a traditional audition. She actually auditioned for a local nonprofit event at the time, and the casting director for that event was also the casting director for Disney's Moana. Ali'i told Tech Insider, "She looked at my audition, and the rest is history." What a coincidence. Wow, the odds were in her favor because she, wow, goals, I wish, can that be my life? Oh, so lucky, and she's so cute. And she, Ali'i was born and raised on the Hawaiian Islands, and she's performed in backyard plays, but Moana is her first major film, which is why they refer to her as a newcomer, because this is her first major film. And that is honestly goals. I wish I was part of my first major film, but that's not happening right now. But you know what? If I keep dreaming, it'll happen eventually. I just hope it happens soon. And Moana premieres the day after her 16th birthday. How cute. So she'll be the same age as Moana when it comes out. Oh my gosh, that is so cute. That's so cute. So like she'll definitely have a lot of similarities with Moana, not just her age. Or actually, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so by the way, if you haven't stalked her on Instagram like I have, you need to start because she's so freaking adorable. I just can't. I really can't. She's so cute. She's so adorable. And you follow her on Instagram, or at least check it out. It's just her name. Yeah. Check her out. She has some cool stuff on there. She has some cute selfies, her on the red carpet. She's just an adorable young woman. Oh, I'm so floored. Okay. And if you didn't know already as well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson voices Maui, who is Moana's demigod friend. And I remember when I was watching one of Ali'i's Instagram videos, she showed herself meeting him for the first time. So basically for a majority of the filming, they did it everything separately. And that's crazy. That's really crazy how, because when you watch, when I watched one of the previews, I did watch one. I just didn't watch all. It was a part where she was like, Maui, Maui, here's amazing. That whole thing. Yeah, so they most likely did that separately. She was just voicing for Moana, and then The Rock was doing it for Maui, but they weren't doing it at the same time. That's pretty cool to know, because I thought they always had to do that, like, at the same time, not separate times, on their own time. That's crazy. That was new information to me, and it was very shocking. And also, Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote some songs for the movie. So if you don't really know him, he wrote the popular musical Hamilton, which you probably have heard of by now. It's this musical inspired by the life of Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, that dude. And also, In the Heights, Lin-Manuel wrote In the Heights, which is a great musical too. You should definitely check that out, or at least listen to the soundtrack. It's a really nice soundtrack, okay? Hit it up. Hit it up on YouTube. It's probably there. And Lin-Manuel is great, and you can guarantee that the music will be good too. So if this dude wrote two musicals, him writing the songs are probably really good. So yeah, listen to the In the Heights soundtrack, listen to the Hamilton soundtrack, and then when you watch this movie, listen carefully to the lyrics, because he probably put in a lot of time and effort and thought into them. All right? Yeah. Okay. And the other characters in the movie are voiced by Nicole Scherzinger, Alan Tudyk, Jemaine Clement, Tamara Morrison. I don't know how to correctly pronounce this, but I think it's Tamara Morrison, Rachel House, and Philippa Sue. Yep, those are some of the people. And are you guys excited about this movie as much as I am? Well, just some heads up for y'all. First, watch any and every preview video that Disney has provided, or that Disney has released for all of us in preparation for this movie. And the only one that I saw was the international one. Well, actually, that was one of two that I watched, but I think the most recent one I watched was the international one that featured Baby Moana. And honestly, heart eyes, what a cute AF baby. Baby Moana is so freaking cute, so you should watch that one too. Just watch every single one of them, because they're probably all good. And I need to jump on that too. I'm falling behind. And also, follow the celebs on social media. Ali'i is adorable, and her Instagram reflects her adorableness. So follow her there, or at least just check it out, because all these celebrities are public on Instagram. So you can stalk them and scroll through. It's okay. And each person involved in the movie will have their own exclusive pictures or videos. So check them out to find some cool stuff. Yes, find some cute, cool content. Yeah. Okay, so for example of one of these people, these celebrities with social media, is Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I follow him on Twitter, and he retweets some stuff relating to the movie. Like recently, he retweeted Alessia Cara's cover of one of the songs from the movie, and it was really cool. If I didn't follow him, I would not have heard of Alessia Cara's cover. So yeah, if you don't follow them, you're missing out on some opportunities, because if I wasn't following him, I would have missed out on that opportunity. Wow, I should have paused in between that sentence. Whew. Okay, but yeah, follow them, because if not, you'd be missing out. And who wants to miss out? No one. Hello. Okay, also, there is merchandise available for all of us. And I've seen some Halloween costumes out there. Yeah. For kid costumes for Moana and Maui. Yeah. Like, so your child can be dressed up as Moana or Maui. It's possible. You just gotta buy it. And there should also already be some stuffed animals out there too. If not now, soon there probably will. Maybe once the movie comes out, you'll see a lot of stuffed animals. Maybe there'll be some McDonald's toys. I wouldn't be surprised if there was that. That's cool. And, oh my gosh, wait, that must mean there's gonna be some Moana Tsum Tsums, if there isn't already. That, oh my gosh. So, okay, if you don't know what Tsum Tsums are, they're these little, they, majority of them come in these little stuffed animals that are shaped like, honestly, like little loaves of bread. And they're made to look like popular characters from Disney movies. So, if you haven't heard of Tsum Tsums, go now. Go search it up on Google or something and check it out. And if there, oh my gosh, if there is Moana Tsum Tsums, that's probably going to be so freaking cute. And her little pig pet dog sidekick thing is going to have one too. That's going to be so freaking cute. Oh my gosh. That, wow. Tsum Tsums are already cute, but this is about to be 10 times cuter when she's a Tsum Tsum. I hope they do that because it'd be great. And also, there's probably some dolls out there, both stuffed and Barbie size. Yeah, I already said that. And I've also seen some pins out there, too. I think you could probably get those at Disneyland because a lot of people do pin trading. I don't really do that because I'm not an, I don't go there that often. So, but if you do, you know, there's probably some pins with the characters on them. So you should do that. And something that I found out, which was pretty interesting to me, was that there are even some temporary tattoos there. Oh, so that you can have a mini Maui on your arm. Huh, isn't that? And if you like, you got some muscle, you can like flex it and he'd move too. You can tell a story. Or you can have Moana on your forearm, the way like where a lot of people are getting tattoos nowadays. You can put her there, decorate it. Temporary tattoos are really so fun because you can have it for like a week, and then if you're tired of it, you can just wash it off. Or even if you're tired of it right then and there, once you apply it, you can remove it. So that's going to be fun. Anything. Honestly, Disney is just so good about making merchandise. They're really good in that market. Whoever their marketing team is, they're hooking me in because I just want everything. They are great. They are so good at that. And honestly, the possibilities are just so endless. And I can't wait to see all the little babies look up to her and say, she looks like me or something like that. Because this is just seriously so amazing, and I wish Moana had been there when I was growing up, or a Filipino princess. That would have been exciting. But you know, I feel like California has been ready for a while, but the rest of the country, it was, you know, you had to push them to do it, to get used to it. But you know, it's here now. We should just appreciate it now. And I'm so excited for this movie. I can't say I hope it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good because it's Disney, and Disney has yet to disappoint me and many other people. So, yeah. Okay. Hi-ho. On a little break we go. Right after the break, I will be talking more about Moana, so stay tuned for that. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Breezy, and The Eighth Dwarf is everything Disney related, which is why today I am talking about Moana, and earlier I was talking about Elena of Avalor, which is a new Disney Channel show. Okay, but right now I actually have a friend on the line. Lonnie, are you there?
Hey, DJ Breezy.
Hey, okay, awesome. So, in case, well, just let all the listeners know, Lonnie is a friend of mine, and I wanted to have him on the show to talk about the new Disney movie, Moana. So, Lonnie, how are you doing today?
I'm well, a little bit tired, but excited, you know.
All right, okay. So, my first question, you are Polynesian, correct?
Yes, I am Tongan.
Okay, so what is it like to see your culture represented by Disney?
Yeah, to see, you know, my culture represented by Disney. Well, our culture, because, you know, not just mine.
Okay.
With respect to, you know, like the rest of the community.
Got it.
It's like a really big deal, especially considering, you know, the big push, you know, on, you know, Hollywood and, you know, the film and movie industry as recently to get more diversity and inclusion, especially with respect to persons of color, you know, into these movies. And to see that they actually did spend a lot of time, you know, on this project, I believe it was like around like 5 years with respect to research and study and actually being on the ground, going to many different, you know, Pacific Island donations and meeting with the people. Like, it's just really cool that, you know, they did that extra intentional effort to meet with them and to hear their stories from like a direct contact kind of lens. And also to see that they're, you know, their design for making the movie is just like, they have so much leadership. You know, they have, you know, they have Tevaka. You know, that was like a band that, you know, my parents listened to a lot when I was a kid. And
oh, really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, you know, especially the lead singer, he's doing like a lot of like, you know, the music composition, you know, along with obviously Lin-Manuel Miranda and like their usual like Disney, you know, performers and musicians. And, you know, for script writing, you know, they got Waikiki from like New Zealand, I believe it's like part Maori.
Oh.
And then of course they have their, you know, their voice acting for Lu'i Korvahu and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, some actors who are part Native Hawaiian and The Rock being, you know, part Samoan. It's just crazy to see, you know, that they have made all this intentional effort, not just on the voice acting level, but on multiple different creative licenses, you know.
Yeah,
to
for
get,
sure.
You know, lots of star power.
That's really cool. You told me a lot of stuff that I didn't know about, but thank you for letting me know about that. Really, what are your thoughts about Moana being the first Polynesian princess?
I mean, with respect to Disney, right? I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's time that we opened up this idea of, you know, what the word princess has, you know, come to mean, especially in a pop cultural sense. You know, we've always, I think, limited this idea of a princess being limited to being some sort of like Western or Eurocentric idea. And it's just like, you know, all around the world, you know, monarchies from, you know, ancient traditions had existed. It doesn't make sense why we still have that conception to this day. Like, and it's crazy. Like, you know, just knowing that, you know, that definition will be actually opened up more and we can put like a person of color face, you know, on, you know, that word now, and it doesn't have to be so confined and constricted.
Definitely. I like that answer. That was really good. So you kind of basically answered my next question, which was, what are your thoughts on Moana not having any kind of romance? But if you have anything else to say on that, please do.
Yeah, I think it's great that, you know, there won't be, you know, this whole, like, romantic focus. Not to say that that's, like a bad, like, movie plot or something like that. But I think it will at least give, you know, the character a non-traditional, you know, like, gender role of thinking of how, you know, they're supposed to be performing in film.
For sure.
And it doesn't have to be this, like, limited narrative, you know, for this amazing character. We'll get to then see more actual development, more narrative, more art, more culture.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So have you seen any or all of the previews that Disney has released in preparation for the movie?
It's not all, like, probably like 80-90% of them.
Really? Which was
I've seen a lot.
Which was your favorite one that you saw?
Ooh, okay. Tough one.
I know you watched the baby
I
one.
I think maybe, I think probably the one that they showed, it was only like a minute long that they put for, they put as a preview, like during like, you know, the Olympic season. Just because in that one, we got to see, you know, much more of the culture being like imbued, because then we got to hear not only the music that Vaco was like producing, but then we also got to see, you know, a lot of like the actual, the tribal patterns and the Natu being like expressed, and it being like authentic and legitimate, and them not just making it up, but them actually using, you know, the real stuff that, you know, the people use.
Okay. Can you like briefly describe what this preview showed?
Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, basically, it was Rock Johnson, you know, playing Maui, and it was Juan as well. And a few of the snippets basically show them, you know, they're, like, kind of sailing around, and they run into, like, the whole Kakamora, and then Juan is, like, swinging all over the place, being, like, a really cool, genuine, awesome, you know, action-type, athletic, you know, kind of character. Dwayne the Rock Johnson as Maui, he, like, you know, used his hook into, like, a transformative kind of way where he turned into, like, this giant bird.
And then
it also showed her, like, touching, like, the boat and, like, the, you know, the patterns, and it had, like, the Manalua on it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And I told my mom, she was just like, yeah, that's our pattern. Like, she must be Tongan, and then she started saying, like, all these Tongan words. I was like, that's great. Cool. You know, it has, like, an intergenerational element, you know?
Awesome. That's really cool. Okay, so what about this movie are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, I would say
everything.
that's a hard question. Everything we received so far has been, you know, for the most part, like, really positive. It's hard to actually get like a film out there that has put in this much work to be with the leaders of the community and the culture as possible. Like. I don't know, a lot of it's good to look for. I would say honestly, like, I'm a big person, like, if it comes to, like, scripts, like, characters, I'm a big character person. Other people, like, I don't know, plot and narrative, but I like to see, like, dialogue, I like to see, like, actual expression, like, visually, and all that kind of stuff.
So you're really looking forward to see all of that character development throughout the movie?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so listeners, so just so you know, recently Disney released child costumes of Maui and Moana, and Moana's costume was pretty spot on, but Maui's costume raised some eyebrows because people found it to be cultural appropriation because it was basically a brown bodysuit with all of Maui's tattoos. So Lonnie, have you heard of this, and what are your thoughts on it? Do you think that it's cultural appropriation?
Yes, I have heard of it. For me, I do have, like, ambivalent feelings about it. I do think that there should be a Maui costume, like, whether or not this was, like, the best way to handle it.
Okay.
Probably not. I mean, I can definitely see why, you know, it would be condemned for, like, cultural appropriation with them using, like, the actual tattoos, with them using brown skin and the idea of people being able to, you know, wear the skin of non-dominant groups, especially, you know, amongst the racial hierarchy that the United States, like, lives itself in, and, like, on a global, like, colonized sense, like, you know, putting cultures out there for, like, capitalist interests as opposed to, you know, its actual respective traditions. I definitely found it problematic, but I did preface it in a way where it's just, like, though I did find this to be a problematic thing that can be related definitely to brown face, definitely to cultural appropriation. I mean, I also, you know, like, think that people should honestly take a, like, a hard look at themselves with respect to, like, why does Disney think that this is, you know, cool in the first place? I mean, we have a culture where we don't even really, we're mad that, okay, someone could pay, like, what, $45-$50 that someone could, you know, to buy this mad costume. And then in real life, you know, people, you know, are, like, walking around thinking that they can just pay, like, the whole, you know, actual fee or actual payment it takes to wear the real tattoos in real life, you know, wearing our culture and then walking around with that. And then I don't see anybody questioning that. I felt like a lot of people attacked Disney and were like, oh, because it's a big corporation, it's Disney. Of course, I can easily, like, call that out, look like, you know, someone who commits to social justice, looks like an ally. But if you don't, like, call out, like, you know, all this, like, stuff we have where people, like, freely embrace this culture without the presence of specific leaders in general, then I just think that people are taking the easy way out, you know?
Yeah, I get you on that. That's a really good point. I really appreciate you explaining more about it, because I've just been hearing, like, the bare minimum about this, but I do appreciate you elaborating more, especially on your thoughts about this. So in terms of how the characters look, do you think that Disney accurately depicted your people or your culture? Because I read somewhere that Polynesians are upset at how Maui looks, saying he was too obese. However, there are other people saying that they look at Maui's size as strength and not obesity. So what are your thoughts on that?
This is going to be debatable.
Okay. What's your opinion,
then? I'm going to just leave it in its, like, you know, complexity that there are people that, you know, are on different sides of the spectrum, especially, like, even within my own community of how to think about it. Because some people, you know, like, I mean, I could look at Maui and be like, real talk, like, that looks like, you know, like an actual Polly to me. That looks like, oh, okay, that looks like my uncles. That looks like, you know what I'm saying, like my cousins or something like that. And on the other side of the spectrum, I do understand where a lot of, you know, people in higher ed actually have expressed, you know, a lot of anger about it, because traditionally, you know, they claim that Maui is supposed to be, you know, a character that provides a sense of clarity, provides a sense of intelligence and wisdom. And a lot of people don't appreciate that they took this kind of, you know, approach with Maui, because they feel as if this is more of a comedic approach, a comical approach, and it depreciates Maui from, like, you know, his actual, like, cultural, like, symbolism as being somebody for, like, wisdom and intelligence. And they also bring up, I've seen this cool analogy where it's just, like, when Dwayne The Rock Johnson had to play Hercules, you know, like, a demigod from the West, they treated him completely serious. They gave him live action film this. They gave him all the kinds of, you know, like, bravado and then, like, complete, like, actual full-grown character depth as possible. But then when Dwayne The Rock Johnson had to play, you know, like, his own actual ethnic heritage, well, at least part of his ethnic heritage, then I don't know where it gets, you know, blown into this thing where it has to be cartoonish, it has to be silly, it has to be funny, and then it loses all that kind of reverence and respect that they gave, you know, like a Western demigod. So I totally understand why there's upset and anger of it. I would say I have a balanced position. I would say that I'm willing to accept that that's, you know, what my people do look like, but I do understand that it does depreciate away from, let's just say, Maui's origins.
For sure, for sure. Okay, so are you, just going back to, like, the movie overall, are you gonna purchase any merchandise? Maybe a stuffed animal for a special someone?
Okay, yeah, so I'm definitely gonna get the pig. Pua's dope. Okay, for people who don't know, like, Pua, he's gonna be, like, the pig that you see, like, in the trailers, basically, in the Moana movie.
The dog pig thing.
That's like a Tongan word. It means pork.
Cool.
They kind of, like, have the word. They, like, I guess took part of the word and named it Pua. And then, I definitely want to get that big pig as big as possible. I'll probably buy it for my significant other, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think she would like it. Yeah. So, last question. Will you be watching Moana on November 23rd, the day it premieres, or are you going to wait until the weekend?
I will.
The Wednesday, right? So you're going to be there Wednesday night
watching
it.
I'm going to watch it. I already got the tickets.
Wait, you already did? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, Cleese already got it. Well, Cleese is my girlfriend, but yeah.
Since when?
Huh?
Since when did you get it?
Like, several days ago, like a week ago, something like that.
Are you serious?
Did
you get it for, like, a good price?
Watch that movie.
Did you get it for a good price?
Huh?
Did you get it for a good price? Or is it, like, the typical price of a ticket?
It was 3D, so it was, like,
got 3D?
A little extra.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I believe we got 3D.
So lucky.
We got it for day of, except not the very first showing, like, the one right after, because we got, like, a Thanksgiving dinner thing, kind of ish, an early celebration with the living and learning community we're with.
Okay.
But yeah.
You are lucky. You are a lucky person, Lonnie. Okay, well, I appreciate you so much for coming on my show today. This was a really good conversation. All right. Mm-hmm. And to all my listeners, we are going to go on a break now. Hi-ho, on a little break we go. And right after this, I will be talking about 16 facts about Moana. So stay tuned for that. And remember, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Back from break we go. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Breezy because I keep it cool, you know. And if this is your first time tuning in, this is actually my last show. But don't fret, because all my past shows are on radio.dominican.edu under student shows. Yep, they're all there. And this will be up very soon. So, now I'm going to be talking about 16 facts about Moana, which I took from BuzzFeed.com. And actually, before the break, I had a conversation with my friend. He called in, or I called him. We were talking about it for a bit. But now I'm going to tell you some facts about the movie, which is coming out very soon. So, one, the story takes place 2,000 years ago in the South Pacific. Two, to research for the movie, members of the team took a trip to the South Pacific where Moana takes place. And honestly, as you should, that is so good of them for doing that to make sure that they're accurately depicting this culture and its people. Three, they met villagers, navigators, chiefs, elders, archaeologists, and anthropologists to gain background information about island culture. And this really just goes to show how much effort Disney made in order to have this movie be accurate, which I love. Like, how can you not appreciate them for doing that? It's so nice. Number four, Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda is a member of the music team. He actually joined the team before Hamilton gained worldwide recognition. So, that means he didn't just join because people are like, OMG, this dude wrote Hamilton, he's great, he should join the team. Nope, Disney already knew that and they jumped on the hype before y'all did, alright? They knew about him during In the Heights time, they knew he was good, but here we are. So it's great that he's still part of the team, it's awesome. Number five, Moana is the 16-year-old daughter of Chief Tui, the well-respected leader of the people of Motunui Island. I'm sorry if I butchered that for anyone who is actually Polynesian. I apologize because I am not. Number six, although her father wants to be the next chief, Moana wants to be a voyager like her ancestors. And this makes me wonder, who will be the next chief then? I guess we'll only be able to find out when we watch the movie. Okay, number seven, Maui, a demigod who is played by The Rock, is covered in tattoos that tell the story of all of his exploits. And I think one trailer showed Maui telling the stories of his tattoos And when he was doing so, they moved. How cool is that? Like, he'll flex and it's like, it moves. Oh, I'm so excited for this movie. Number 8, one of his tattoos, which is named Mini Maui, is actually a tattoo of himself that has the ability to move on his body. And I was reading somewhere that The Rock wanted to get a tattoo of himself on his body and name it Mini Rock. That is so funny. I think he should go with it. He should do it and put it like on his muscles so he can flex it too. Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, number 9. Maui's character movement was very difficult for animators because he doesn't wear a shirt. Usually, characters wear clothing, which hides most of their muscles, skin, and anatomy. Without a shirt, they had to figure out how to make Maui move and how his muscles engage. Also, his hair looks real. Like, it looks legitimate. Like, it's like you could touch it and you could feel it. So that must have been really hard to do as well. Like, remember Merida? Her hair was, that was a lot of hair. And it was really long too. And Maui got like a whole head of hair. So that must have been really hard to animate and have it move flawlessly in the movie. So I'm excited to see that too. Number 10. Also, Maui sings a song written by Lin-Manuel Miranda in the film. Yeah, Lin-Manuel is just great. Number 11, in the film, the ocean is an actual character. So that means the ocean will be there as a guide to Moana. Well, the ocean will be there to guide Moana on all her adventures. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't watched the movie yet. Maybe if she gets stuck somewhere, the ocean will help her get back on track. Makes you wonder. Number 12, in a sneak preview clip shown at Comic-Con, Moana is seen meeting the ocean for the first time. The water truly acts like a human and tilts its head and waves at Moana. This was a trailer that I saw, okay? I watched one of them, all right? Don't blame me. But I did watch one of them, and this is the one I saw with baby Moana. So cute. Number 13, two of the film's main characters, Pua, Moana's dog-like pet pig, and Heihei, I think that's how you pronounce it, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it, is a rooster who stows away on Moana's adventures, and he doesn't speak. Number 14, Pua might just be the cutest character in Disney history. I totally agree with that. Number 15, Heihei went through a massive character evolution. At first, he started out as a bit of a jerk and a watchdog for the chief, but he wasn't resonating with the audience. Instead, they decided to do one thing, drastically lower his IQ. Well, I guess you gotta do what you gotta do. Number 16, Moana doesn't have a romantic interest. The stories about our heroine finding and listening to her own inner voice. What a message for young girls, finding out who you truly are. Like, honestly, y'all, you guys need to find out who you truly are, because we're all great in our own way, and we need to remind ourselves that self-love is so freaking important. You have a place in this world. Never forget that, all right? Don't forget it. You are important, and I appreciate you. All right. Hi-ho. That's the end of my show. Thank you so much for listening. And if you've been listening since my first show, you a real one. And even if this was just your first show, I still appreciate you tuning in. You can catch all my past 7 shows on radio.dominican.edu under student shows. Oh, this is so bittersweet. But I thank you so much for your time, for your ears. I appreciate y'all so much. So this was The Eighth Dwarf on radio.dominican.edu. Get off the wall. It's time to party, so happy.